Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue picked up two more commitments last week in football, up to 12 now in 2020. Both of them linebackers, that and much more on this Golden Black Radio podcast. Kyle Charters here, Brian Newbert as well. We'll talk to Tom Dienhart coming up in just a couple of minutes also. First, though, let's start with Brian, talk a little bit of football recruiting as Purdue continues to rack up commitments, and they continue to do so, Brian, at linebacker, now four in this 2020 class. That's, if I can do the math, a third of the group so far. Commitments from Ryan Brandt of Angola and Kadran Jenkins of Louisville, Georgia. Let's start with the most recent in Jenkins. He commits to the Boilermakers on Saturday over an offer from Missouri. Big guy, 6'2", 220. Watching his film, he seems to play, in my opinion, even a little bit bigger and more physical than that. Looks like an inside linebacker prospect.
Yeah, that's been a pretty clear emphasis for Purdue here in the last 12-some months in recruiting. You know, this is the second inside linebacker Purdue has in this class as he joins Ben Kreil. Purdue also has a 2020 signee with a 2019 signee with a 2020 scholarship in Jacob Wahlberg coming in, who's a very similar player. Obviously, Purdue is emphasizing getting more physical between the tackles. Obviously, Purdue's going to have some turnover at linebacker like you have at every position, but, you know, Purdue's going to lose Marcus Bailey here pretty soon. And, you know, Purdue is looking for that next guy. That's always been kind of a signature position in Nick Holt's defense. I remember Brom talking last year about how their system is designed to make that player productive. So I know they always want a smart, physical guy in between the tackles at middle linebacker. They're attacking it with numbers, obviously. You know, this is a bunch of guys they have now to fill that potential role. And it's just, it speaks to their priorities defensively in terms of what they want for their defense moving forward.
And Jenkins, a guy who's not yet been evaluated by rivals, but, you know, had the other possibility with Missouri, had some offers from what I think are some pretty good programs in the Southeast that are, you know, not the Power Five programs, but it seems like a guy that, you know, Purdue targeted and wanted here, even though, you know, maybe not the most high profile guy, right?
Yeah. I think he just got offered in the spring. So this wasn't a first cycle offer type of guy, but that just means they went out there during the evaluation period or watched a bunch of guys during the evaluation period. I don't know the whole story behind how exactly they saw him, how exactly they found him, but obviously, you know, Purdue has had a lot of names on the board at linebacker through the summer, and for them to have added him to that list, they must have seen something they really, really liked. You can say that about every recruit, like, ever this time of year, is that if they found a spot for you and they were willing to take you early, they really liked you. And clearly, Purdue really liked this guy because they were recruiting a lot of linebackers at the time. And for them to add him to the list on the fly there in the spring, presumably during the evaluation period, suggests they saw something in him they really liked real quick.
Yeah, Ryan Brandt out of Angola, another guy that Purdue had been on for longer and takes his commitment last week. A guy who plays safety up there in Northeast Indiana. Purdue wants him more at the linebacker position, but probably a guy who can play a little bit of space. Although when you watch his film, he comes down there and plays a lot in the box, almost like a linebacker, but at the safety position for Angola. Has some athleticism, I think, I don't know, 20-something steals as a baseball player, pretty good baseball player also. But a guy that Purdue had looked at for quite a while before deciding to take his commitment last week.
Yeah, you said it. I don't know what's left. He is technically a high school safety, but really only technically a safety because when you watch his video, it's – indecipherable between what exactly is safety and what exactly is linebacker. They just play him all over the place, and I think he lines up in a de facto linebacker role more than he ends up at the back of the defense. I think, Purdue obviously looked at him as sort of a more athletic outside linebacker type, and as we've talked about here the last few minutes about how important it's been for Purdue to get those more physical between the tackles types of guys, they also wanted to get at least one outside linebacker, and his speed, his athleticism, his overall athletic profile would seem to fit pretty well with sort of that kind of new age outside linebacker. That position, you need to be able to do a lot of things because, you know, those outside linebackers nowadays have to cover just as much as they have to pursue as much as they have to pass rush when needed. So a guy who has played all over the place, who has shown he can do a lot of different things on the football field, versatility is always a positive thing defensively nowadays because your guys who have to drop back have to do so many different things. It's what we just talked about last week about Sanusi Kane. When you have a safety with corner skills, that's huge when you want to put that guy at nickel because he has to guard, he has to cover slot receivers a lot of the time too. And that's something your more traditional safeties, don't always excel at. Whereas it used to be where when your outside linebackers used to cover, it used to just be the tight end or the running back out of the backfield at most. Now, sometimes those guys even have to go face-to-face with a slot receiver or somebody a little bit outside their category from a matchups perspective. So versatility and coverage skills and just overall athleticism at linebacker is just obviously really important, probably nowadays more than ever.
We have thought that this would be a smaller class. I mean, it makes sense, smaller senior class, although Purdue has had some transfers here that maybe have added to the spots that Purdue can fill here in 2020. Are you surprised that Purdue is at 12 right now with still, basically, 6 weeks before Purdue's season starts, maybe a month or so, 5 weeks until, high school seasons start?
They're always going to maximize their resources from a scholarship perspective. They know their numbers better than we do, obviously. But now Purdue has more commitments than it has seniors on its roster right now who will be departing. So obviously, Purdue is working in uncharted waters from a scholarship chart perspective. But look, even if Purdue signs 16 or 17 guys, whatever it might end up being, that's still a small class because your typical class is usually between 22 to 25 probably. So that still is a pretty small class. I don't think Purdue is ever going to sign like 8 or 9 guys. I don't think that is ever going to happen in college football anymore. There's just so much turnover. Coaching staffs are so aggressive with their scholarships nowadays. I don't think that was ever really a possibility that the number of departing seniors was going to match up with the number of signees. But obviously, if Purdue has 12 now, and if that's the number, I don't know. I've lost count. I was out of the loop yesterday, so I didn't even cover this new commitment. But if the number's 12, I would anticipate then they get to probably 16 or 17 when all is said and done. And obviously, things are fluid, so people committed in June as history has shown over and over again, doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to sign in December or in February. No reason to believe these guys aren't going to sign in December or February, but the reality always is that things are subject to change all the time in recruiting on both ends of the transaction nowadays, too. So obviously there's a lot of recruiting left to be done. If you just kind of follow what they're doing, clearly there are positions they still need players at. They're still going to recruit into the season. They're going to lock into a number of higher end types of guys, but also look to fill a couple more positions here. This is going to be a small class, and they have a lot of commitments now relative to that small class. This is far from over.
Is there still a possibility of adding a grad transfer this summer for this coming season, or is that window closed?
Well, it wasn't all that long ago that Purdue basketball started practice in October and signed a point guard in September or something like that. So it is, if I recall that correctly, I think it was September. I don't think it's too late until it's too late. I don't think it's too late to add somebody until you're on the field playing your first game. I don't think there's really any sort of deadline. Obviously, there are some logistics involved in terms of getting a guy admitted into school, getting him enrolled, you know, things like that. But I don't think that's really an issue until you get a couple weeks into a semester. And Purdue's not going to, sign somebody between weeks one and two or between weeks two and three. I think if they start practice without one, that's probably a pretty good indication they're not going to get one. I think up until that point in time, the possibility still exists. I know that's not all that far away, but I also don't think that's over either. I have no idea what's going to happen there. I know that they have allotted space for it. I know they have looked and looked and looked. For all we know, they have somebody. We just don't know about them yet they might not be able to announce it for scholarship allotment reasons, because you have to kick that scholarship forward to make room for the guy like they did Dennis Edwards last year, although Dennis Edwards, I believe, was announced in June. So that time frame has since passed. But we'll find out when they start practice, I guess. But I don't think it's over. I think it's still certainly possible they can add somebody.
Right. All right, Brian, thank you.
Yep. See you.
Much more on the site as well, football recruiting. Be sure to visit goldenblack.com. All right, when you take a break, we'll come back. We'll talk to Tom Dienhart a little bit more about football, both incoming linebackers, maybe some former linebackers. We'll discuss those as well. What the national perspective is of the Boilermakers and their schedule. We'll do all that and much more here coming up on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you are looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. And Kyle Charters here with Tom Dienhart talking a little bit of football. That time now, Tom, it'll certainly be that time here in just a couple of weeks, and then football practice starting, basically a little more than 3 weeks from now. Crazy to consider that. Let's talk about Kadren Jenkins, who was the latest commitment. You had a chance to talk to one of his coaches about him a little bit. What did you learn?
Yes, Cyrus King was the coach, Kyle. He described Jenkins as a violent striker who's a plus athlete. So sounds good, right? That's what you want all your linebackers to be described as. A bigger guy, 6'1", 6'2", about 220 pounds. Coach King said Jenkins has really excelled in the weight room the last year, so really bulked up. Needs to work on his lateral quickness. That was the one big weakness. I asked Coach King what this new commit needed to improve on in 2019. So it sounds like they have a big bulky linebacker to try to work in on the inside of that defense.
Purdue now with four commitments in this class at linebacker. But if you look at the history of the Boilermakers at linebacker, not all that shocking that Purdue wants to try to replenish that group, right?
Yeah, you know, it's no big news alert to Purdue fans who've watched this program the last 8 to 10 years. You know, the program's had a lot of holes in it personnel-wise, and linebackers been one of those spots that's really led the charge as far as a talent deficiency standpoint goes. There have been a few bright spots, of course. By and large, you know, Kyle, you have to go back to the early 2000s, the Joe Tiller era, Brock Spack's defense, when they had guys like Gilbert Gardner, you know, Landon Johnson, Joe Odom, Nico Koutavides. Those were linebackers who not only excelled at Purdue, but also had NFL careers of varying lengths. So you need guys like that on your defense. You know, Nick Holt wants, you know, those guys, the linebackers, to make plays, to make tackles. And you need athletic guys, big guys who can play in the box and also play in space, too.
Yeah, what was it? Before Juwan Bentley was selected in the NFL draft a year ago, it had been Stanford Kegler, I think, in 2007. So it had been a while. Unless I'm forgetting somebody in there, it had been a bit since Purdue had a linebacker selected. At times during that tenure, those 10-plus years too, man, Purdue had to move some safeties down, play with two linebackers at times. It was a difficulty getting enough of those guys on the field outside of a couple of quality ones to be able to play regularly. Purdue seems like it's trying to stock up on some young guys. So once Marcus Bailey, maybe Ben Holt are departed, that they'll be able to fill in some gaps there on pretty important part of Nick Holt's defense. All right, let's talk about, you know, you last week had a chance to sort of break down what the national publications thought of the Boilermakers. One thing that stuck out to me that's been talked about a little bit is Purdue's schedule, especially once you get beyond the non-conference. Because, look, Purdue did stack up in the non-conference, playing a couple of Power 5 opponents. But once you get to the conference schedule, do you feel like that it is a little bit more user-friendly?
Yeah, I think so. You know, playing in the Big Ten West, number one, is a big bonus for Purdue. Not having to bang your head against Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State every season. I will say this, though, the Big Ten West for Purdue, they have to go on the road to Iowa. They have to go to Northwestern. They have to go to Wisconsin. So some tough spots there. I know Purdue won last time at Iowa, but again, the wins at Northwestern have been too few and far between, and I couldn't even tell you, Kyle, the last time Purdue won in Madison. I think it may have been when Ashante Woodward blocked that field goal attempt and Purdue scored on that on the scoop and score. But again, but overall, you're right. The Big Ten West schedule offers Purdue some relief. Cross division opponents, Kyle, at Penn State. They get Maryland and Indiana at home. So again, Purdue gets to avoid three of the biggies in the Big Ten East in 2019, which certainly helps.
You counting down on the site the easiest to the most difficult opponents, 12 through 1?
Yeah, I'm going to start that today, Kyle, 12-1. Easiest, at least in my eyes, Kyle, easiest opponent to the most difficult game in 2019. Of course, August 30th, on a Friday night, Purdue will take the lid off the 2019 season against Nevada. It will be very interesting to see how they fare against Jay Norvell, whose Wolfpack went 8-5 last year. Purdue fans may not remember this, but going back to when Joe Tiller was going to step aside and there was all this super secret talk about having a head coach in waiting, Jay Norvell was one of the guys that Purdue really seriously considered for that job, along with Paul Christ. So it's kind of interesting. Norvell, of course, is a Big Ten guy, played D-back at Iowa in the mid-'80s, a good guy whose dad was JD at Michigan State. So Jay's done a nice job out there in Reno, and it's going to be fun to see you know, what type of team he trots out there this year.
All right, so are you going to give us a preview of who the easiest game is, or do we have to stay tuned?
I'll tell you, I'll give you a hint. How about this? The easiest Purdue game for 2019 is against the Big Ten school that's the closest to West Lafayette, Indiana. So there you go.
Oh, all right. I think we can figure that one out, perhaps. Especially with with recent history here. Does not bode well for that squad, I think.
Well, yeah, Illinois obviously is the school. And put it this way, Darryl Hayes will beat Illinois twice during his tenure.
Yeah.
And he had 3 Big Ten wins in 3.5 years. So, yeah, the struggles at Illinois are confounding to a lot of people. Lovie Smith has gained no traction in 3 seasons in Champaign. And coaching staff turnover continues to hound that program, Kyle. And that's never a good thing. There's no continuity on the staff. A lot of transfers coming in and out. Questions at quarterback continue to persist. Of course, Brandon Peters, of course, the Michigan quarterback, has transferred to Champaign. Maybe he'll be under center when those teams lock horns in Ross-Ade Stadium this year. That would be interesting, huh? Avon, Indiana kid.
Yeah, certainly will, and we'll look forward to that countdown, 12 through 1 of Purdue's upcoming schedule as well. Hey, thanks, Tom.
Take care, Kyle, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Been a busy week again for football recruiting. A couple of commitments in the last week. You can read up on them on the site at goldandblack.com. Much more there as well, including Tom's rundown starting today of the 12 teams that Purdue will face in 2019. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Back at 10 o'clock again next Monday with more. Thanks to our sponsors, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charter's Team, and Remax Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. 10 o'clock next Monday with our next podcast for Brian Dubert and Tom Deanhart. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.